Well, good afternoon, everyone. It's Justin.
And Sean.
And this is the Dot Matrix podcast, dotmatrix.com, episode 14.
Yes.
And it is officially smack dab in the center of all the heat of summer.
Like, and middle of the year.
Yeah.
It's a great day out there today, don't you think?
It's been a gorgeous run for the last week and a bit, actually, hasn't it been?
Yes, so. It has. Here and all over, I think all over mainland and southern BC.
Or as they say, Metro Vancouver.
Metro Vancouver. Sounds so stupid.
I was talking to a friend of mine about the podcast, actually, and she was saying that we should talk about the whole switchover from lower mainland to Metro Vancouver, what that means. So, but anyways, I have absolutely no topics on a list or any list at all about what we want to talk about. And you said, as before we just pressed the start button, that you didn't have any either. So this will be a perfect test of whether or not we can pull off a podcast with absolutely nothing intentionally that we wanted to talk about, which I'm sure we can do because we have that all the time.
We actually do have like a running podcast. Like,
yes.
Constant podcast between us, I think.
Well, and that's the inspiration of this whole podcast anyways, so.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. I just thought of one thing that I saw just today in the news. I thought, pretty big issue.
So really?
I have two words for you, Justin.
Okay, let's just get right to it then.
Omar Khadr.
Oh my god! It's funny, like, there's been commercials about this.
I know.
You watch News World, they're like, release of the tapes tomorrow, and what the government didn't want you to see, or something. So I have not heard anything about it, about the release today. So you've heard something? Have you read something?
I read a little bit online this morning.
So is it as horrific as what we think?
You know, I think it's pretty bad.
Yeah?
And I was going to bring it up for the fact that, you know, they're saying it's a milestone because you've never actually seen an interrogation footage from anyone in Guantanamo.
Right.
Guantanamo.
Context,
it's 6 months after Omar Khadr, who's a Canadian citizen, captured by U.S. forces in Afghanistan in 2002.
He was captured really young, wasn't he? Like, he's like...
Yeah. Yeah.
Not even of age, actually, wasn't he? Or something? Wasn't he a teenager?
I think he was 16.
So now it's been how many years later? So he's probably, what, 18, 19 or something of age? Or?
He's, I think he's, like, 21.
21, okay. So
yeah.
I was mumbling for a little bit there, so hopefully it worked out okay.
Yeah, yeah. Let's bring up the levels a bit here. Like, 6 months after he was captured, early 2003... That's the videos.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's been in, you know, detention for a while. You know, a little bit of background since is that he's never actually been convicted of any crimes yet he's still being held in the cell, and but it's members of CSIS asking him questions.
So CSIS is down in Guantanamo interrogating him.
Omar Khadr, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, and I guess that's how they could release it, because it's, these tapes would, I would assume, be the, I don't know, intellectual property or whatever you say of the Canadian government, right? So
yeah,
I'm assuming there'd be no way a U.S. government would ever release anything remotely like this, right?
Never. And it was really a judge that agreed with the defense to release it. So that's why it's coming out so the world can actually see how people get questioned, especially in the case of this young man, right? 16.
Right.
He allegedly killed a U.S. soldier in a firefight when he was captured after the battle was done or whatever, and very much injured.
Right.
Anyway, when you're watching the video, it just shows Khadr in really bad, fuzzy video, but you hear the interrogator, and I'm like, is this our version of the CIA? Like, is this, you know?
So was the questions absurd or really one-sided or very threatening? Like what was the nature of
I would
of
call it really not compassionate at all. Not that you would expect, right, you know, spy agencies to be, but
right,
considering it's Canadian, like, he had this idea that Canadian people were going to go down there to help him. So he kept saying, help me, help me. And the guy's like, you know, I just want to get some information from you very, very flatly, you know, just like, you need to help yourself by helping us and that kind of thing. And he would, Omar was freaked out, and then as it went on, he grew more frustrated, and he started pulling at his hair, and he started saying, oh my God, you know, like, get me out of here, this kind of thing. And the guy interrogating said, you know, almost kind of alluding the fact that his injuries weren't so bad. And so he started lifting up his shirt, showing all these different things. Okay, I can't move my arm. All these kind of things like that. And then, you know, he just can't even believe what's happening to him. And the guy starts to joke around with him, saying things like, oh, well, the weather in Guantanamo is great. There's no snow here. You know, like, really? Is this the kind of discussion they should be happening, you know?
Wow.
And of course the guy doesn't respond. So it was just a tragic thing. Because they show him saying to himself, like, over and over again, just kind of bobbing around, like, get me out of here, kind of thing. Help me, you know?
Right.
Just total despair.
So is there anything, like, that the government or the Canadian government should be really ashamed of? It looked like CSIS was definitely acting as an agent of the U.S. government in a weirdly odd way, or was it like, you know, like,
yeah.
Is there anything like when you saw that was shocking that the reporters or that the news coverage, once I finally get a sense of it, get to see it, like really latched onto? Did someone, anything like that?
To me, it was just, it was cut in pieces. It wasn't like a continued, it was like a highlight reel.
Right.
For me, it was mostly like, you know, showing like his sense of disbelief. The guy's asking all these questions. He doesn't want to talk to him. He realizes they're not there to get him out. They're just there to make his life miserable. It's just seeing him on the screen. I don't expect any of those interrogator guys to act any differently than that guy did.
Right.
Just because they're just...
So just one guy.
I could only hear one guy. There might have been more, but you can only hear him. And it was just amazing because no one's ever seen inside of that before. And you know, he had the orange jumpsuit on at the time, which was supposed to be like for the most, you know, serious extreme offenders, you know. But you know, I think they're going to go to trial later this year finally, but I think, you know, it's just a real eye-opener. There was no one thing of the whole interview that really got me. It was just the whole thing in general.
Right.
It was really kind of sad to see. It's because he's a young man and he had fundamentalist parents, but like, who really knows like what went on, you know? Like, so that was the big thing that jumped out at me today.
Wow.
Yeah. And you know, Harper was just like, well, we're just gonna let the judicial process run its course and see what happens. Like, there's no, I think people are expecting the government, our government, to do more or try to help out in different ways. But our government's just saying, no, let's just let the U.S. finish their job. And that's it. You know, people are like, well, he's a Canadian citizen. Like, how come we're not demanding the U.S., you know, treat him better, get him out of there? Like, they've released other people and so on. So,
right.
But that was my big story for today. I think it was hard to watch.
Yeah.
Usually I don't watch those kind of things, but this one I wanted to see because I really wanted to see, like, you know, his reaction to being interrogated. They call them, CSIS calls them interviews.
Interviews.
But they're actually interrogations.
Were they all the tapes the same day, or was it like a series of interviews? Do you have a sense of the timeline for that?
You don't get a sense. No. I really think it was mostly from one period of time. I don't know if just one day or not.
Right.
It's just like a few minute reel, so. But I think there were many interviews, because they would talk about having breaks and all this kind of stuff, so. But it was just, I don't know, it's kind of difficult to watch, and you really wonder, like, what the effect would be, like, especially on our government, like, if this guy goes to jail forever for something, or death row, or who knows, like,
right.
He hasn't had a life since 16, but then we don't know his original intentions anyway, if he was one of those people that was really out to, like, a jihadist or something, we don't know, right?
Right.
Obviously the U.S. thinks so, but I don't know. I just don't see it as that black and white, considering how young he was and how brainwashed people can be, you know?
Yeah, and I have to
say, I
don't
know what you think, but
I don't know enough about the topic at all to be able to speak anywhere sounding or resembling educated on this topic. Like, and specifically this case, I mean...
Barely can I. No? I just know what I read today. I've been following it a little bit in the press. It's just one of those classic cases of Guantanamo detainees been there for years without being charged, family, and or convicted. He's super young in this case. He's a Canadian citizen.
The Canadian citizen thing really gets me.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I know, like, when you're traveling in the world and and you break some law, even though you're a Canadian citizen, you are beholden to the laws in the country in which you're in, right?
Yeah.
So, I get that. However, this is weird because it took place... Where did it take place? Was it Afghanistan or was it Iraq?
Afghanistan. Yeah. This is before the Iraq War.
So, this happened in Afghanistan, this incident.
Yeah.
And it's an American soldier who was killed.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, like, it's a weird situation that none of that really, like, if you're, like, a tourist in Mexico and you steal a rock from the Mayan ruins and you get, you know,
right,
prison, like, that's a very different circumstance, because who is the government in Afghanistan right now?
Yeah.
I mean, why is, like, why, suddenly America takes, you know, like, it's a weird permutation of what, at least I know of, which is, you know, traveling as a tourist and, you know, and that sort of common sense around the law of the land you're visiting. But, so, I, like, when you don't even, when the land you're visiting really has very little government, very little established or re-established laws and
right.
courts and judiciary, I mean, I don't know. You know, like...
There's really just no rule.
Suddenly the U.S. is the one, like...
The U.S.,
And
it just appears that they use the law when it's convenient for them, and when it's not, they just disregard it.
But I guess if it was a German soldier, would Omar Khadr be in Berlin somewhere? Or some prison off of Cuba that's run by the Germans? Or, you know what I mean? Like,
I know.
I don't know.
When you think of it that way, too, yeah. Like, what if Germany had a base in Cuba?
Yeah.
A country that... Like, I was talking to a coworker today about this, like, why does the U.S., who have this huge embargo against Cuba, have a base there? Like,
I know, I don't get that either. Really don't.
I mean, I think it dates back to Bay of Pigs, because when the failed...
someone trying to answer this to me, too, because I thought the same thing, and I forget what the answer is. But
I think it dates back to then.
Yeah.
I'll have to look that up further, but... Yeah, I'm really interested, like, how does that work? You know, it's like you're already screwing them over. And it's on top of that, you have to have a base there, like a permanent base there. But they're going to close Guantanamo.
Are they?
Well, actually, the funny thing is that McCain and Obama both want to close it.
Oh.
They just want to, it's just what do you do with the people afterwards that they differ on?
New Jersey, that's what it's
So, yeah, anyway, that's kind of what's going on in the world today.
Wow. Well, there's a couple things that came into mind that I thought was really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I come to this podcast today fully updated on my Bill Moyers podcasts. I listened to it on the way here.
I'm glad you brought it up, so did I.
Was it, like, this most interesting one recently about the, you know, conservative movement, right?
Yes!
And I thought there were some very fascinating things. Well, one, there was the podcast from Bill Moyers,
mm-hmm.
and there's another article I read, too, about... The fact that all these comedians are having problems of how to make fun of Obama. It was an article in the New York Times.
Really?
So those are two comments I'm going to... So I'll talk about the first one first, which is the podcast. I thought it was very fascinating around conservatism and what really are conservative values, and what is the problem with the Republican Party right now. And
not reflecting them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was really interesting and like... In reality, like, and I don't know the history of conservatism in the United States, but getting that sense from this one-hour podcast was really useful.
Totally
like, it's about
useful.
Government, it's really about the size of government and what role government should play,
mm-hmm.
not about that the conservatives now under the Republican banner is the party of God, or is the party
right.
of, we're like, oh, that's a sort of a bastardization of what is true conservative values, or what the Republican Party technically was based up upon from Goldwater to Reagan on, you know,
mm-hmm.
that sort of thing. And a couple of things I thought were really interesting. One was the idea around abortion and Roe v. Wade.
Yes.
And,
oh, I know what you're going to say.
And,
yeah.
And I thought
judge?
Was, well, one about the judge who said that that Roe v. Wade, he was against it because it assumed that there was a right of privacy in the Bill of Rights that isn't there.
Yeah.
And so it has to be, he's against Roe v. Wade, and it should be struck down because legally it quotes privacy rights that aren't actually in the Bill of Rights.
Yeah.
And I thought, and the guy said, well, what's a really stupid guy, stupid judge? Because is only the rights listed in the Bill of Rights are the
only rights.
That's the only rights for American citizens. And he said, no, what I think it should be, and I think it's really true, like, we as human beings who happen to live in the United States, if you live in the United States, have just these general, has a whole set of rights as human beings, and the Bill of Rights tries to document what those are,
mm-hmm.
that are the ones that maybe need protection or need reminding, right? But if it's not in the Bill of Rights, doesn't mean you don't have that right, right?
Yeah, it's not so black and white, which
yeah.
is, again, a very conservative thing, way to think.
But what I also thought was interesting was the fact that, and one of the two people who was speaking to this podcast was saying that what Americans don't understand is that if Roe v. Wade was overturned by the Supreme Court, it doesn't automatically make abortions illegal.
Right.
It doesn't do that. What it does, it says that legislators, whether or not it's statewide or whatever the level of government is, they have a right to vote on whether or not abortion is legal or not. So that's all it is. It's just a matter of giving it back. Ms. Roe v. Wade said that abortion is not something that legislators have the right to legalize or not legalize. Or
that's
you know,
right.
It's ingrained in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, so legislators can't touch it. But if they overturn it, all it says is that decision is overturned. That legislators can touch that
yeah.
issue.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really interesting. So
very
it wouldn't automatically make every abortion in general across the United States illegal. It would just send that issue back to Congress or whoever in state legislatures to make that decision.
So the government of the day gets to
decide. Yeah.
Which is scary.
Yeah, I mean, or, and it could mean that you could have abortions legal in 5 states and not 45, or vice, or, you know.
So is it state level?
I would assume, well, I mean, if I think about how Canada is, health is a very provincial jurisdiction, and I would think health is also a state decision,
mm-hmm.
I would think.
Yeah.
I don't know for sure, but whatever level it is, right? But it's sort of like the death penalty, right? It's legal in certain states and not legal in others.
It's true. So many things that are not
yeah.
others, yeah.
So I thought that was really interesting. And then the whole thing, I was reading this article about Obama. Well, actually, I don't even know if you have any comments on the podcast, sorry, before we switch subjects.
Oh, I had the same kind of thoughts. The one thing I got from was they're talking to these two conservative people.
Yeah.
Like, you know, a way to call them that. That's what they call themselves.
Yeah.
But yet they didn't exactly agree on everything anyway.
Right.
And one thing that I really noticed was that they kept explaining how Republican Party are in trouble because they keep going away further and further from what original conservative ideas like Goldwater or whatever, like way back when.
Yeah.
And what a lot of people don't realize is that Republican can mean conservative, but it's really certain values and certain ways, like you mentioned, that government believes should be interfering or not in what the public does. Whether it's like, obviously they don't agree with universal health care, like they don't
right.
vote for like education essential service or whatever. But yet these guys sounded like thoughtful, thought-provoking people.
Yes,
and they're conservative. Like
yeah.
wow.
Yeah, I think if you could have that conversation on a mass level around the difference between Republican and Democrat or liberal and conservative or
right.
whatever, then I think more people would enjoy that dialogue
yeah.
and have a nice debate and actually probably flip-flop on
that's
issues.
Right.
Like, I don't think everyone is... I mean, some people are. I mean, some people are.
They're out
but,
there.
But I think the majority of people probably have a very liberal view on some things and a very conservative view on other things. And I'm sure you would describe yourself in that way. And I would probably flip-flop on some things. Like,
sure.
And they even bring up Terri Schiavo.
I know! I thought of you right away because it's like, you know what? They both said it's not up to...
Yes.
The federal government to decide those things.
And I totally agree with that, and our contentious has never been about that issue. It's been about other parts of that particular topic, which we won't get into, but...
You know, I will say one thing about that, though.
Okay.
I've thought more about it.
Ooh, okay.
And I think maybe we should devote a podcast to it.
Okay.
We'll maybe plan it, we'll give a background.
Yes.
We'll talk about the story.
Yes.
For those out there who may just not recall or don't know in the first place. And then we'll talk about how we think about it, maybe how our views may have slightly
right. Well, I've always been right,
changed.
And I've been keeping the same view anyway. So as long as you move, that's fine.
Oh. Right, kidding. Okay, so you're right. Oh, okay,
just
I get
kidding.
It.
But actually, one thing I do want to check, I mean, and we're sort of talking about this, we're going to be talking about this right now, this within the next couple of minutes, very sort of abstractly, because without the context, it's kind of tough. But... my position is very much based on the fact that the husband has moved on, right? And I need to find that, like, if we're going to have this podcast discussion about it, which I think we should be very interesting.
Yeah.
I would like to find out that fact and whether or not that was the case, because from what I heard from press coverage at the time was that the husband had moved on, he was remarried or was in another relationship or planning to marry, right? And so that, for me, predicated my whole decision on this topic,
right?
And so I'd like to make sure I got that straight in my facts before we talk about this too, because that would be useful. Because if it's not the case, then it does change my view. It really does, actually. So
I
that's an
think
interesting
that is
point.
The case, but I think there's a little more to it, though.
Yeah,
we will get
exactly.
into. Yeah, again, it's like, you know, that's why, you know, sound bites and headlines and can always be so misleading. Oh, and by the way. Jesse Jackson's words are not taken out of context. That is not taken out of context. That is direct context.
Oh.
We have video, we have audio, pretext, we have context.
And that's perfectly into the next section, which is like the whole fact that the late night comedians don't know quite how to make fun of Obama yet. And apparently, like, I didn't see this episode of The Daily Show. But Jon Stewart made these jokes, and no one laughed, or people had every reaction, and he's like, come on, people, you can't laugh at him, it's okay.
It is, that's a funny statement to make.
And then The Daily Show yesterday showed that clip of Jesse Jackson whispering into his mic.
Don't tell me he didn't know the mic wasn't on.
And then the whole Jon Stewart thing was the fact that it's not so much that he said he wanted to cut off Obama's nuts, but that he did a little ugh at the end with his fist.
That's totally what I'm talking about. You have the video this time, as well as the audio. Usually it's one or the other.
I'm very curious as to what... Like, whether or not will Jesse Jackson try to dig himself out of the hole, or will he just say, you know, Just let that one go, and the only way to get out of that is time.
If he's trying to dig himself out of that hole, I don't think he's doing a very good job. He came out and said, words taken out of context, I swore Obama.
Is that what he said?
He,
okay, I haven't seen any reaction about or him trying to
I mean, that was the next day, and I haven't heard anything since. I think people are just like, you know what, we're used to this now. This isn't new.
Yeah.
But you know, it points out something else. Every single person on the planet can't say that they don't think things that they would never say out loud.
Right.
Except Jesse Jackson did.
Yeah.
And it was foolish because he's been in public eye for over 40 years. And he should know better. He should know better. Keep it for the conversation at dinner table with your wife or whoever.
Right.
You know, the guy he was talking to, all he had to do was... wait till the interview was done or whatever they were doing and talk about it in the hallway.
And that's cute. The guy leans over.
He's like, what are you saying, Jesse? You know, it's like...
But I think, I mean, there's a lot of that. I mean, I don't know enough about, and I haven't lived the race context in the United States. I mean, I only know race within the Canadian context and Asian, really. I don't, right. I'm not a black Canadian.
Right. Nor am
but,
I.
But it really just highlights there's got to be a lot of work for him as Obama and and the either the Black Caucus in the Democratic Party, Black America in general, the whole race issue, I think,
it's not resolved
because, you know, I think there is a lot of, you know, probably a lot of hurt. I mean, there's this Saturday Night Live, you know, animated short where they talk about Obama and he sends off like Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson to different places that don't even exist just to get them away because as what has traditionally in the last, let's say, 20 years of politics, even longer, of Black American politics, they've been the figureheads. It's been the Jesse Jacksons and the Al Sharptons. And it's been a context of... And it's been... I don't want to use the word poverty in saying that poverty is in an economic sense, but it's a mentality of poverty where they've come in when they've run for U.S. For the president for the Democratic nomination, it's been about, you know, we deserve this. We've been so wronged in history, which is very true, that we, you know, it's about fighting back, right? As opposed to so that's what I mean by poverty mentality, right?
Yeah.
Not to say that the economic poverty, but there's the other side where I think Obama's trying to come from, which is very foreign to the Black American experience, from my understanding, is one of strength, one of equality, you know, and they talk about this in a, oh, I'm slapping my hands. They talk about this in a Bill Moyers podcast, right? They had a Black historian on.
Yes.
And they talked about that.
Another good one.
Yeah. About how, Obama acts like when he encounters a white person that he gives them the benefit of that. They're not racist. They're not going to relegate him or judge him in an inferior manner. And until he or she proves him otherwise.
Right.
While the Black political experience of the past, that's, you know, Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson sort of embody, has been very much about you see a white person and you assume that they already think ill of you or that they are racist until they gain your trust by not being racist.
Right.
So I really thought that was really interesting. I think that's in some ways also part of the root of the whole, you know, lack of comedic abilities of these, you know, which are basically white comedians. And I think the late night audience, at least from what the article was talking about, was also fairly white in terms of late night viewers.
Oh, okay.
That's the demographic. So then they talk a lot about it in this New York Times article. Maybe I'll link to it if I can find it. So
yeah, and I don't know if you can find a link to that that Saturday Night Live short, but that would be
yes.
fun to see too. I love those. They're so hilarious. And it's funny because Al Sharpton did go for it in the last election, right? He was a Democratic, like with Howard Dean and all those other guys. Like he ran
last time. Yeah.
You know, and totally true. I mean, one quote from, going back to that conservative one podcast of Bill Moyers, which is the latest if you're looking it up. Americans want the conservative party to reach out, not to lash out. I think it was the quote. And which the guy was saying is pretty much what George W. Bush has been doing, like his administration. And that's what it all comes down to, you know, like I saw a video of Bush arguing with Matt Lauer in the Oval Office on a 5-year retrospective of 9/11, and he's like basically just saying, "They're gonna come and kill your family, Matt." You know, like I'll put that on. We'll do a link to that too.
Okay.
He just scare tactics, like right on TV, pointing at Matt Lauer, saying, "You know, like we have, you know, like they were mainly talking about waterboarding and torture. It was in the news at the time and."
Right.
And he kept going, well, he was essentially admitting, like, if it's against international law, we don't agree with it. So it's like, again, goes back to what I was saying earlier, it's like, they don't agree with it. Or if it's, they're breaking the law, they just say, well, we just don't agree.
Right.
And that makes it okay, you know. But any final thoughts before we wrap this one?
No. Well, I mean, the only thing that came to mind was that when we think about all this sort of topic, it's actually very meaty intellectual. We didn't talk about anything fluffy at all today.
No, it's been heavy.
That's pretty good for no
fun.
Lists. But very good, yeah. but I've been trying to watch Meet the Press lately, because now that oh my god, now I'm brain farting. What's
Tim
Russert? My god. Brilliant interviewer.
Yeah.
Is gone. Tom Brokaw is now filling in, right? And I saw a little clip again on the Daily Show. They were showing that clip of some John McCain surrogate talking about the economy and trying to backpedal from another a McCain surrogate who was basically telling Americans that they're a bunch of whiners and they should just suck it up on the economy.
Right.
And she's like, he's not going to be speaking about on behalf of McCain in the economy. And then they were questioning on the Daily Show about this woman who was also... who's also now being a surrogate of McCain, and a quote she had is she didn't like it that insurance companies were covering Viagra but not birth control. And then one of the reporters asked McCain this question. He's like, he rolled his eyes like, oh my shit, what, really? And he didn't have an answer to say, like, well, my surrogate, like, what do you believe? Do you believe that insurance companies should fund Viagra and birth control? You know? And he was like, his eyes were like, oh, and he kept putting his hands on his face. He's like, I don't know enough about the toilet, you know. and the interesting thing was at the very end of the Daily Show, they had this little thing from the Meet the Press where this woman was talking, and she said, "Oh, I don't think it's a matter of what surrogates. I think the American people are more interested in what the candidates have to say about the issues." And Tom Brokaw was like, "Well, you're here on my show, on this show, talking about stand like." I hope the American people are interested in what you, as a representative of the campaign, is saying about it.
Right.
He's like, then why are you here? So I thought, okay,
exactly.
let's hope Tom Brokaw can fill some big shoes, and I'm really hoping he can, given the fact that he doesn't have anything to prove.
No.
You know, and he doesn't need the next big interview.
No.
Like, I think you need to have that fearlessness and not beholden to if you treat someone well that you can be asked out again to this next interview or to get the next big scoop. Like, you know, so I hope he does well, because it would suck if Meet the Press became really pandering like that.
Pandering, good word. Yeah. I agree totally. But it will be big shoes to fill, so.
But anyways, that's my last comments in a long way. Make us past 32 minutes.
It's not bad, I think. We get between 30, 35, 40. We're
good. I think we're good.
Awesome. Okay, well, that was a good talk. And we'll come back to that kind of stuff as we go along.
Yes.
Do check out the Bill Moyers podcast while you're checking out ours.
Yes.
And I think you'll enjoy the very informal discussions they have on those programs.
Yeah. Oh, God,
and,
I just love it.
We'll get to that level, hopefully. And
we're not there already. Well, we're not educated enough, I don't think,
well,
on the topics, because people were talking about, like, when that guy mentions that judge, he says, oh, a judge, whatever the name was, and then the other guy's, oh, yeah, he was nominated under the early Reagan year. I'm like, they know everything.
Well, and that's the thing, and Bill Moyers, that's his job, right? Like, he researches this, he has a staff, I'm sure, like, they, you and I, we stay informed via the news, various news organizations and stuff, but I think we do pretty good.
We do okay,
yeah.
Given that we weren't alive during a lot of what people talk about.
That's also very true. Well, thanks for listening, and
yes.
We will see you again for episode 15 next time.
Yes, take a look at thedotmatrix.com and our new banner image. Our website actually looks like us now, so
that's right.
A few more changes to come, but I think we're close.
Yeah, we're very close. Thanks, Justin, for redesigning that.
Oh, you sent me that image like years ago. Finally, had it.
Thanks for putting it into place. Yeah. So long for that.
Marvelous.
That was Dexter. Okay, bye.
Next time.